Smith.
All the band is out on the field. He's going to go into the end zone. He's going to go into the end zone.
Biggs.
Have
won.
He gets it out. He's going to have a check.
Biggs.
It is the Mixed Pick Sports Show with me, Rob, and Steve Mickelson, live from Las Vegas, Nevada, and MixPicks.com. 2Ks in Mix, 2Ks in Picks, MixPicks.com. Good morning, Steve. How you doing, man?
Good morning.
All right, we're going to get to our guests in mere moments because I want to give everybody the background. You did a podcast a couple weeks ago called Crossed Up that you were a guest on, and the hosts of that podcast were nice enough to enjoy, or to, rather to agree to come on our show and join us in return. You talked a little bit about it earlier this week, but tell us about who we're about to talk to for about. We already have a bunch of emails from listeners who want to talk about Philly and Philly fans, but tell us a little bit about Anthony and Bob.
Well, Anthony, I've known through other things for, you know, the last several years. Great guy, beat writer for the Phillies, the Flyers, does podcasts for the Phillies and Flyers. And Bob is a marketing expert, also a huge sports fan. I met Bob with the podcast about a month ago. Both great guys. I informed them of what the podcast was. They were both very interested. They liked the idea of the guys just sitting around a bar having a beer, you know, and talking sports. I think it fits in well with them, and I'm very excited to have them on the show today.
The podcast is called Crossed Up. Let's bring them in. If you're watching us on Rad TV at members.radradio.com, or you're going to watch it later, you can. We'll do the Brady Bunch thing with them. Anthony and Bob, thanks for joining us this morning. I'm Rob. You already know Steve. Thanks, guys. Good to see you.
Good to see you, too. I didn't realize we were supposed to wear our team gear today. Rob, you got the Kings on. Yeah, Steve's got the Lions. We should have worn our team gear.
Yeah, we have that dopey rule as often as we can. Steve and I try to wear something that correlates with one of our teams. Obviously, the Kings are playing tonight to go forward and such. So I'm in my Kings gear, and Steve can always rotate through. And don't get me started, because you know he's a Detroit fan of everything, and then he's a Red Sox fan, and we've fought about it for three decades knowing each other. By the way, I have a connection to you guys as well in this weird way. My entire paternal family, my whole dad's family, is from Norristown, Pennsylvania, which you guys have to know. What is it, about 45-minute drive, give or take, from Philly?
Not even that far. Okay. It's actually about 20 minutes from where I live currently, so it's not too far from the famed King of Prussia Mall.
Yep.
Which is the second largest mall in America, behind the Mall in America.
There's a little trivia for everyone. Cool. Been there many times. I have a different vision and view of Philly and Pennsylvania than a lot of West Coasters do, which if we have time, we'll come up in a couple of our emails. Actually, you know what? Let me start. Anthony, I want to start with you since you're the beat writer. We did the thing about the Flyers, you know, and pulling the goalie and you know, if you weren't a hardcore Flyers fan, you didn't understand that they had to, maybe in the moment, they had to win in regulation, and that's why it happened. Right. Blah, blah, blah. It wouldn't have mattered anyways. Where do you see the Flyers, like, moving forward or how you felt about their season and where they're going just as a team in general?
Look, I think that their season was a pretty solid season. If you're in a team that's in a rebuild right now, like they are, to be playing a game 82 that has meaning, that's a good step forward. Now, they lost 8 straight games down the stretch and blew a playoff spot, right? But if you asked people back in October if they expected that team to be there in that position, no one. There's not a soul on the planet who thought that they were going to be in that position. So if you look at it holistically, it's a successful season. If you look at it in the vacuum of the final 2 weeks, 3 weeks of the year, they fell apart and collapsed. I don't think that they are really anywhere close to being a contender. I think that general manager Danny Briere has a lot of work to do still with this team. But I think overall, if you're a Flyers fan, you have to be happy with the progress that was made, because a season ago, they were so far off the radar that nobody was even talking about them in Philadelphia. Now people care again.
Hey, Steve, remind me, have we done this yet? Do you have a Stanley Cup finalist winner yet?
No, we have not done that as of yet, and I'll be honest with you, the Vegas Golden Knights let me down big time.
I know.
Last night, how they can lose that game? I mean, they're at home, they're playing one of the worst teams in the NHL, and to lose that game I'm still recovering from that one.
Anthony, Bob, either one of you got a team where you're like, oh, yeah, there's your Stanley Cup winner.
I've beginning of the season, my Stanley Cup prediction was the Dallas Stars and the Florida Panthers. I got to stick with it. I think that those two teams are the two best teams in my mind. Although I will tell you, the way that the playoffs are breaking out West, Dallas, even though they're the best team in the Western Conference, they have a tough road. You got to go through Vegas, potentially the Winnipeg, Colorado winner, and then maybe Edmonton or Vancouver after that. So that's a tough road to go, but I'm still going to stick with my preseason prediction.
I defer to Anthony on all things NHL. You want opinions, strong opinions about Major League Baseball, the NFL. I actually have a lot of Sixers opinions as well. But hockey, let Anthony take that. So I'm on the Stars and Panthers too.
That is perfect. The two Roberts play the same role because I'm with you, Bob. I defer to Steve when it comes to hockey. But the bailiwick, you know, especially if crossed up, is baseball. And in fact, we did ask for emails. We got this RAD@radradio.com from Nathan, who starts out by saying, I'm the self-appointed biggest Phillies fan west of Philadelphia with absolutely no proof to back that up. And I have questions for the crossed up guys. I'll give you the three questions and you guys can figure out who wants to answer and in what order. Number one, how much of last year's NLCS loss can or should be blamed on Craig Kimbrell? Number two, how much are the Phillies missing or going to miss Hoskins? And number three, what on earth is to be done with Nick Castellanos? Start wherever you want. I'll remind you of the questions if you forget one. Go.
Go ahead, Bob. You go first.
Well, I'll take the question about Craig Kimbrell. I think it's fair to pin some of what happened on him. I mean, he's obviously a big part of what they did, and he had prolonged stretches where he was a really effective late-inning reliever, but it was quite obvious that he was cooked by the time they reached that point in the series with Arizona, and Rob Thompson went back to him, trusted him, and probably shouldn't have. I think the writing was sort of on the wall the second time around, the second game that he blew. I think everyone knew that was coming. So it's a little bit on the pitcher. I think it's a little bit on Rob, though, as well. I can't blame anybody that walks away from that series, both in the immediate and 8 months later, and still has some sour feelings about Craig Kimbrell. I think that's more than reasonable.
All right. What about missing Hoskins?
I'll take that one. You know, it's interesting. Last season, they played the entire year without Rhys Hoskins, and they made it to Game 7 of the National League Championship Series. So in that vein, you could sit there and say, well, no, they don't miss Rhys Hoskins. But Bob and I were actually talking about this on our most recent episode. You know, with the start that Castellanos has had, and I'll defer to Bob for that answer to that question. You almost look at it and say, would they have been better off putting Bryce Harper in right field and having Rhys Hoskins come back and play first base and move on from Castellanos? It's only 20 games into the season. It's way too early to make that statement in that vein, but I don't think it's ridiculous to have that as a question that lingers as we move forward into the remainder of the season.
And
go ahead. As far as Castellanos goes, I mean, okay. Listen, it's been a mess. He's hitting 159 right now. He's the only qualified hitter in Major League Baseball that doesn't have an extra base hit yet. No triples, no doubles, no home runs. And he looks totally lost. And he looked lost this spring down in Florida. He looked lost in the NLCS. And so I think that there's some real concern about where he's at right now. And plus the fact that they owe him $20 million this year and both in 25 and 26 as well. So they don't have a lot of great answers. They don't have another big bat out there to really play more and pick up the slack. I mean, the guys that they've brought in for protection, guy like Whit Merrifield, veteran player, he's been off to a dismal start. So what's the advantage in playing him over Castellanos? And, you know, Christian Pache is a good defender, and they could theoretically play him a little bit in right field if they wanted to, but he's a light hitting outfielder as well. So, you know, the Phillies, I think, have to just kind of grin and bear it right now, continue to trot him out there and hope that he's the guy that he was last year when he hit 272 and he had 29 homers and almost 70 extra base hits. But it's ugly right now, and I think that any Phillies fan watching this has a right to be concerned about it.
Now, Steve, when you and I did our preseason predictions, as sports fans do, we both had the Phillies getting in as wild cards. Are you sticking by that, and how are you, Steve, before we go to the experts, feeling about this season of the Phillies?
I still like the Phillies. I think they're the third best team in the National League with Spencer Strider going out for the Braves. I actually believe the Phillies, if they can get Castellanos going and have some hitting to back it up, because I think Bryce Harper is a star could make a run at the Braves because of that injury to their pitcher. I still put him in the third. Castellanos, as they said, really has me concerned. I was concerned during spring training because he had no clue what he was doing out there. But he is a very streaky hitter. When he gets going, he can go on a 2-3 week and just carry a team. Right now, he's lost. They got to figure it out. But as they both mentioned, they don't have anyone to take his place. It's a better option right now. So they just have to play through it and hope they stay within striking distance of the Braves.
All right, we're with Anthony and Bob from the Crossed Up podcast. And let me throw it to you guys with this setup. The ESPN Power Rankings, they do the whole league, whereas Steve has them third in the National League. The Phillies are sixth, according to ESPN, behind in order. Braves, Dodgers, Yankees, Orioles, Rangers, sixth best team in Major League Baseball, says ESPN this week. Meanwhile, NBC Sports Philadelphia, you guys have more knowledge of how reliable they are, but they say that the Phillies by far have the best rotation in the entire National League at this point in the season. How do you guys feel about the Phillies this year moving forward?
Yeah, I mean, and one of the things that is interesting, when we did our preseason predictions, both Bob and I had the Phillies going to the World Series coming out of the National League just because they're built for the playoffs. And it's not just because we're, you know, a Phillies-themed podcast. We had never picked them to win the World Series or even get to the World Series previously. I actually went so far as to pick them to win the division, and that was before the Strider injury. I think that the Phillies pitching staff in general, not only do they have the best starting rotation in the National League and maybe in Major League Baseball, I would put Seattle up there with them as 1-2 either or, but I'm bullish on their bullpen. Even though their ERA is really high right now because they had a couple of blow up innings early this season, I'm big on their bullpen. And I think that when it comes down to it, pitching is what wins in this league. Yeah, it's great to have all the guys who hit home runs, and you can have a season like the Braves had a year ago where they set all kinds of records, but that doesn't necessarily play in the postseason as well. Teams that pitch the best tend to win, and the Phillies, I think, have the best pitching overall in the game.
Yeah, I would echo that sentiment to a larger degree. I mean, I think right now the Phillies have to feel really good, obviously, about the Nola Wheeler tandem at the top, and everybody, I think, knows that from a national perspective. But what they're getting right now from their 3-4 and Ranger Suarez and Christopher Sanchez has been really encouraging. Both guys are pitching deep into games. They've been really effective. The numbers have been, you know, borderline pristine. So you throw those four guys out there, and then the number five spot, Spencer Turnbull, who pitches tonight for them, has done a pretty good job. They have Taijuan Walker, veteran guy who won 15 games last year, can eat innings for you. He's coming back from injury probably next week. So they have some options, and they have some depth in that starting rotation, which they should feel good about. I agree with Anthony with the bullpen. The numbers haven't been great, but a lot of that is contextual. When they've had to put their best guys out there in lockdown games, they've been pretty good so far. The concern for me, though, is really just some of the gaps that we're seeing offensively. Everybody kind of assumes when you look at some of the thump in the middle of the Phillies lineup that they're going to be a top 10 offense. They're going to be top 6 or 7 in home runs per game. I just don't know if that's going to materialize that way. Trey Turner's gotten off to a good start. He struggled a little bit at the beginning of the year. He's heated up here the last 7 games or so. The Castellanos problem, though, is real. Defensively in center field, Johan Rojas is outstanding, but he's a light-hitting center fielder. You know, Bryson Stott is a guy they're looking to take the next step. He has not done that so far. So I think there's a lot of questions with this lineup, and it's a big, big part of it. You know, they're scoring under 4 runs per game right now. So that offense has to get going a little bit here.
All right, I got this email, red@radradio.com. This came in yesterday from Martin after we mentioned you guys would be on. Classic West Coast question. Says, can we ask the Philly guys about the fan rep thing? We all know the throwing snowballs at Santa story, which is often misreported, but Martin says, I've lived in Florida, Colorado, and now California. It seems like everyone regionally and nationally constantly say that Philly fans are the worst, which isn't what I saw during the NLCS last year. Meanwhile, NorCal fans are massive bandwagoners. When the Warriors, Kings, A's, and Giants win, the places are packed. When they suck, you can't even give those tickets away. The Niners are the only exception. Rob knows what I'm talking about. He's alluding to the fact I've spent 40 of my 50 years in Northern California, and he's right. I grew up an A's fan. I was lucky enough when in the late 80s and the early 90s and the Bash Brothers and their World Series is and the very painful Kirk Gibson home run era to have season tickets. The Niners are the one team that during my lifetime have, even through the first decade of this century when they were awful, have always had a loyal fan base, but they're such bandwagoners the rest of the time. And Philly fans, I mean, you guys get it from left, right. I mean, he's right. National attention, with rare exception, is that fans in Philadelphia are awful. But I agree with what he said. That is not what I saw. And that's not what I've heard from Bryce Harper when you go back to, say, last year's National League Championship Series. How do you guys answer that question?
Well, I'm the same age as you, Rob.
Oh, and God.
So I know, right? So we've been around and we've seen it. And I've traveled. I used to travel all over the country covering sports. And I can tell you that there is a certain misconception for Philadelphia. And the thing of it is there is nothing like the Northeast as far as what the fans are like, because in Philadelphia, New York, and Boston, and I don't think that there's anybody close to those three cities in this vein, it's like church. Sports is like church to these people, and that they go and they gather and they want to worship their team. And if they are, you know, feeling good about their team, they're going to cheer their hearts out. If they're feeling bad about their teams, they're going to boo their heads off. And they're going to make it as difficult as possible for anybody who is an interloper coming into their community, right? And that's just how it is. I've never been in a place, and Bob will tell you this, because we got to go down onto the field 2 years ago when they won the pennant. I've never been in a place as electric as Citizens Bank Park has been the last two seasons. And that's even including back in the old days in Philadelphia. So there is something special about this group of Philadelphia fans that's even a little bit different than the historical Philadelphia fan. And I think it's they're just a great group of people who really care about sports, maybe more than they should, but that's what makes it a special group.
I would say working against Philadelphia sports fans is the fact that they are very reactionary to extremes.
Yeah.
When things go well, nobody, and I mean this in an endearing way because I myself am guilty of this, but nobody front runs like Philadelphia. When things are going well, my goodness, it's a great place to be. Strangers are holding the door for one another, you know, bonding over what happens the night before. It's a special thing to see. When things aren't going well, though, sometimes people are quick to judge. Like around here, the first couple of weeks, the Phillies did not start strong. And it's like, see this team, here we go again. They blew their shot last year. They're never going to get back. There's like the negativity can be drummed up to a degree that a sane and rational person that's a third party observer, they'd look at it and say, like, you guys got to take a deep breath and relax. So we definitely do work to extremes in this city, but man, when things are going well, like you say that out west, there's that front running, you know, bandwagon type of vibe. I would say that the loyalty is more consistent here, mm-hmm. but man, when things go well, it's unrivaled. And you don't even have to ask Anthony or I that, you know, you listen to the Diamondbacks players that came in here last year, the Braves players, the past two postseasons, San Diego. I mean, all of those guys will just tell you the atmosphere is wildly different than anything else that they're accustomed to seeing, and there's validity to it.
And I'm not generally a fan of like geographical stereotypes, you know, like everybody from Texas has got a gun on them and they wear a cowboy hat and they talk like that. But you guys are absolutely right. Having family all from the Northeast, Northeasterners, I love the word reactionary, loud, opinionated. They will let you know, and you nailed the three big cities. Absolutely. And then you've got Steve here, you know, who is the stereotypical Midwesterner, nicest guy on the planet. Like literally, you know, trying to get Steve to be mean to anyone, it's like I have to pull teeth, Steve, to get you to say anything bad, which actually leads me into Bob said, okay, you know what, I even got thoughts on the Sixers. And even here, you, Steve, yesterday you told me you like the Sixers over the Knicks going into this.
I like the Sixers. I really like the moves they made during the season. Embiid is back, and we watched them win a game they should not have won. Yes, thank you, Jimmy Butler, for going down with the injury and really being ineffective after the first quarter. But I like the Sixers. The Celtics, there's still just something there that I'm not fully sold on. And in a big series, you know, Eastern Conference Finals, I think the Celtics can get beat. But campaign, Buddy Hield, you know, coming off the bench. Maxey has really taken a step forward. We watched Batum in this last game. He took it over for the Sixers and had a great game. They got the bench strength. They got starters. You know, I'm not sold on Kelly Oubre. I still question him a little bit, but you know what? He fits in well with this team. I like the Sixers. I think they're going to be playing the Celtics in the Eastern Coast Finals. And I wouldn't be shocked if the Sixers go to the championship.
Our thing, the final couple of many weeks of the season, guys, was the Sixers were just hanging on. Like, they were clinging. And please get healthy. Please get Embiid back. Are you feeling as confident? Are you as pro Sixers as Steve is? That they could go, gosh, they could go all the way to the finals?
Bob, you want to go first? I know you're Mr. Basketball.
I'll go first. I am not as confident. I've seen this team time and time again. Granted, Nick Nurse is a significant upgrade, in my opinion, in terms of the coaching. And I think that that was a big part of what happened to the Sixers the past couple seasons with Doc Rivers. Not a huge fan there. I just don't buy Joel Embiid's ability to stay healthy through the grind of a playoff run. And I know he's back, and I know that he finished strong the other night. He struggled. I thought that he was not the typical factor that he is on both sides of the floor. I thought his lateral movement struggled the other night. And if Joel Embiid can be Joel Embiid and hold up through the grind of a playoff run, then yes, I very much could see them in the Eastern Conference Finals with a puncher's chance to reach the final. But I've watched this show before. He has not held up. He is not 100% healthy. And for that reason, I would have to bet against them, despite the upgrade in the coach and probably the upgrade in the role players around him. I would bet against that.
I'm going to go a little bit more towards Steve's side with this, because I look at it and I say that they got the best path that they could have asked for to get there. And that's because winning the game the other night, coming back and winning that game. Because if they lose that game and you got to play for the eight seed and you got to play Boston in the first round, it's probably a bad matchup right off the cuff, right? And so that's not a good look. But they're a better team in my mind than the New York Knicks. I believe, Steve, that the money is even right now, or the line is even right now on this series. And then you go up in the second round. If you get past the Knicks, you're looking at either the Bucks or the Pacers, probably the Bucks. And that team has been, talk about an underwhelming team this year. And now you have a coach there that's an underwhelming coach. We experience him here in Philadelphia in Doc Rivers. I could see the Sixers making that run because of the draw that they got, not necessarily because I have super confidence in what the roster looks like. So I just like that. I don't see them getting past Boston. I think Boston has a pretty easy path, in all honesty. I think Boston's in the final. But at the same time, I think the Sixers are probably the toughest team for them to potentially face in the playoffs.
Anthony, you get the line right on that, Steve, for the series?
In open pick'em, it's moved to a slight favorite to the Knicks. They're minus -120 right now. But, you know, you're looking at it, and by rights, this shouldn't be a pick'em series. And for me, a big key is Embiid getting some rest in this. I love the round two matchup. Bucks, Pacers, Giannis is out. I mean, if they can get through the Knicks, I think it sets it up and they're going to the finals, because I don't see the Bucks or the Pacers beating either the Knicks or the Sixers, whoever wins this series.
All right, Bob, I'll throw this one to you to start. 6 days away from the NFL draft, I got to ask you, there's a reason the GM of the Eagles is nicknamed Trader Howie. Do you expect anything big, or what do you expect from the Eagles when it comes to the draft?
Yeah, I expect the unexpected when it comes to the Eagles in the draft. You just never know what they're going to do. But generally speaking, if you look at the trend of how they operate, they're aggressive and they want to move up. And I would not be shocked if they did move up. Now, I'm not talking about jumping into the top 10, but do they get into the high teens? I think that's possible. And the thing about the Eagles right now is that there are a lot of expectations in this city. You know, the way that they collapsed, some would argue that maybe outside of the 64 Phillies, it's the worst collapse of any team in the history of this city. I mean, there were a lot of people around Thanksgiving that thought this was a Super Bowl team last season. Obviously, it didn't materialize that way, but those expectations are right back there again. You know, they bring in a new offensive coordinator. They bring in a lot of offensive talent. And people feel like that, hey, they better hit a home run here. They have a lot of holes to fill, and a lot of those holes are on the defensive side of the football. But if you know something about the Eagles, they love to build from the inside out. And it's about restocking the defensive line, restocking the offensive line. And I could see them investing along the line on the offensive side of the football, but I could just as easily see them add another rusher. I could see them add a defensive back. There's a lot of different ways they can go, but I would not be surprised. And talking to a couple people that are pretty plugged in as well, if they made a small jump forward, maybe ditched a third or a fourth round pick to do it, and jump up and identify a player and go that route.
All on the same page, Anthony?
Yeah, I think, you know, Howie always makes a move. Whether it's up, down, sideways, it doesn't make a difference. Howie Roseman is always active at the draft. And I do think that they will identify a player that they like and go get him, as they've done in the past. Every season, you know, in the past, they've done pretty much the same thing. I'd be surprised if they stay put. I think they're going to look defensive back. I think they're going to look at corner. I think that's a position that they really, really need. They need help everywhere on the defense, but I think that that's their biggest weakness. So I would not be surprised if that's the direction that they go and they find a guy that they want and go get him.
Quick question for you, Anthony. First, is Sirianni in the same position as Mike McCarthy? Is this a Super Bowl or your fired year?
I don't know if it's Super Bowl or you're fired, but he's definitely on the hot seat. There's no question. There was a lot of thought that he should be the guy that, you know, suffered the most for them having the collapse that they had last year, and they brought him back. So you made every change possible except for the head coach. If you come out and you get off to a bad start, or you don't quite go as far as you think you should go deeper into the playoffs, yeah, that change could happen. But then again, you know, he's a controllable coach. And what I mean by that is the Eagles owner, Jeffrey Lurie, and general manager Howie Roseman, they like to be in charge. And if you bring in a big personality coach that wants things done their way, that doesn't really fit with that combination really well. So if they're a good team and they get into the playoffs and they do okay, but maybe don't reach the Super Bowl, I can still see Sirianni here. But if he misses the playoffs or has a collapse like he did last year, or they get off to a terrible start, I could see them moving on from him, sure.
Well, that description would kill the idea that Belichick is waiting to take Sirianni's job, because that doesn't sound like that would work at all, Bob.
No, I think that the reservation about making a move to a guy like Bill Belichick is, number one, the age. Number two, what type of long-term future would he have with the new organization? I mean, you would have to essentially tear down everything that you do, give him control, let him bring in his staff, and then he exits in, what, 3 years? Now, if you're in a situation where you have a team that's on the brink of a Super Bowl and you really feel like that Bill Belichick is the missing piece, maybe you roll the dice there. But for where the Eagles are at right now, it made no sense. And I think that the ownership group and Howie Roseman, they came to the same conclusion. We're not that team right now. This doesn't make sense. So much of what happened to them last year was about, I thought, scheme. And I'm not always a blame the coaching staff, blame the head coach kind of guy, but they just had such a systematic failure offensively, building in hot routes, building in deviations from what the NFL had figured out from 22 in the first half of 23. So you go out, you bring in Kellen Moore, you try to rejuvenate the offense with a little bit more of an innovative system. They were very predictable last year. You add Saquon Barkley. And I think that the way that they've played it is right. But I totally agree with Anthony. If they don't, I would say the threshold is probably win a playoff game this year. I would not be surprised if they made a move. I don't think it'll be Belichick, but I would not be surprised if they made a move off Nick Sirianni.
Let me work in one really quick last email, because we got half a dozen of these right away when people knew you were going to come on. No surprise. This one I chose is from Toby. Says, I've never been east to Colorado. I'm only 28. I love to travel, and I love sports, and I love food. Philly's on the list. And I have to ask the question, and I'm sorry to be a cliche, but I need to hear Anthony and Bob answer the question. Geno's or Pat's?
Go ahead, Anthony.
Neither.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Neither.
Yeah.
Really. There are so many better places than those two. They're the most famous because they're right across the street from each other, and they're in South Philly where all the Italian stuff is, right? I get it. But there are so many better places. If you're coming to Philly, my personal favorite is a place called John's Roast Pork, but they have great cheesesteaks too. Roast pork sandwich is off the chain, but the steak sandwiches there are sensational as well. That would be the place I would go in Philly.
Yeah, listen, if you want to do the tourist thing and you know, say, oh, I went there, it's an experience, right? You know, you go and do it. If you want the best sandwich, though, there are plenty of other places that you can travel to. I'm a D'Alessandro's guy,
like,
so you can write that one down as well.
Yeah, hey, D'Alessandro's is great.
Steve, you ever been to Philadelphia?
No, I have not.
God, what it's a great city. It's got a, you guys. By the way, you guys are such pros. Thank you so much for doing this with us. We really appreciate it. And Steve, thank you for bringing him on. You guys are fantastic. Love it.
Yeah, anytime. Thanks for having us.
All right, thank you guys. That is Anthony and Bob from Crossed Up. If you just Google them, you'll find them. You can listen to their podcast anytime. We'll be back after this.
Mix Picks, the Mix Picks Sports Show.
All right, let's get right back to it because we got things going on. We got this email from Alec bringing to a close this story of the NHL. He says, ah, yes, the super season comes to a close in a perfect game to cap off the season. The San Jose Sharks lost to the Flames 5-1 to finish the season 19-54-9. Truly incredible, all sarcasm considered. We went a little long with the crossed up guys from Philly because, man, they were even better than you sold them, Steve. That was such a pleasure. To talk with them, and I could do that anytime. They were great.
Yes, I was so happy they joined us, and as you said, they were fantastic. I enjoyed every minute of it. I was a little disappointed that they didn't back up the Sixers a little bit more. You know, made me feel a little bit farther out on the limb than I thought I was. Always great having them on the show.
Well, but the funny thing is, I could see some role reversal if they were super high on the Lions and you would be like, yeah, I don't know. You know, maybe it could just be some PTSD.
Yes, without question.
So with that, we kind of have to do an abbreviated version of a couple of things here. You mentioned, because you said yesterday how disappointed you would be if the Vegas Golden Knights went out and lost, which they did, but it means we've got all the series is set for the NHL. It all starts tomorrow. Obviously, and they run through the first games. I'll run all the way through Monday because you got 8 series with 16 teams. So, an overview, Steve, of what you see in round one of the Stanley Cup. What jumps out to you? Just it's a pick 'em for you. Go.
Well, first of all, the Golden Knights now play the Stars. After their performance, I don't see them beating the Stars in this series, where if they were out of that seed, they would have met in the conference finals. I think they had a decent chance there. I'm really looking forward to the Maple Leafs Bruins. Toronto every year is always there. They're the team everyone feels can go to the Cup. Tough draw to get the Bruins in the first round. And the Predators Canucks, I'm interested in that one. Predators have started playing really good hockey. And in the past, people have kind of, it's Nashville, not really there. Curious to see how Nashville shows up in this series.
And am I to infer from yesterday's conversation and your comments now that if Vegas steps up and does somehow beat Dallas, you've got them all the way into the finals?
I can see them getting into the finals, but I'm so deflated, as I said, from last night's game. I told my wife I'm done watching them. You know, I was heartbroken with the Red Wings, and they tied it up. We got a chance. Nope, empty net goal. Sorry, not happening. And then for that game last night, just crushed me. But I'll recover by tomorrow.
Final play-in games for the NBA are tonight. The early game, I don't know anyone that thinks it matters whether Chicago beats the Heat, and you seem to have the same attitude yesterday. Neither one of these teams is going anywhere, especially the Heat without Jimmy Butler. But what's the line tonight, and what's it look like?
Right now, the Heat are a 1.5-point favorite. As you said, whoever wins this game is going to be a quick exit against the Celtics in the next round. You know, the Bulls, in that game against the Hawks, Coby White stepped up 40 points plus. One of the things I've enjoyed about these play-in games is we're seeing, you know, Keegan Murray goes off. You see Coby White goes off. It's nice to see in the playoffs, and it's one of the things you don't really see in the regular season. You see some role players who step up, get hot, and it's like, wow, look at that guy. He hasn't done it all season. And that's one of the things I enjoy about the playoffs. But with that Bulls-Heat game, to me, doesn't really matter. Either team, whoever wins tonight, is going to go down quickly to the Celtics.
So the game that does matter to a lot, especially a lot of people regionally that listen to us, obviously, is the Kings heading to New Orleans. And I mentioned this yesterday, and it's a little convoluted and confusing, but the whole consolation and losing idea, this is how it's written, and I don't know if you can make it into layman's terms for me, Steve. The Kings owe the Atlanta Hawks a protected first-round pick. This year, the pick is top 14 protected, meaning that the Kings will keep their pick if the pick is anywhere in the lottery. So if the Kings win tonight and they advance as the eighth seed, the pick goes to Atlanta. If the Kings lose and miss the playoffs, regardless of whether it's, well, it will be in the second round, the Kings keep their pick. What does that all mean? Where's the silver lining for the Kings?
Well, if the Kings win, then they're a playoff team, so their draft position is going to be worse, so they're not eligible for the lottery. And by that pick being lottery protected, means that if they lose, their pick becomes in the lottery, they keep it. If they win, they're in the playoffs, it's no longer protected, and it goes away.
So they in the lottery, for those that don't follow it close enough, they have a chance, a very small mathematical chance, but a chance at getting the number one pick in the draft.
Yes, and we saw it last year. Pistons had the worst record. The Spurs ended up getting the number one pick and being able to draft Wemby. So it can happen. If I'm a Kings fan, in all honesty, I'm saying let's lose tonight, keep my pick, and we'll pay that down the road, because I just don't see the Kings going that far. And speaking on this game, right now the game's pick 'em. If you remember, we were looking at Kings 1, and then we found out that Zion was not playing. It went up to 2. It's been bet all the way back down to pick. The one thing going for the Kings in my mind is the Pelicans are 5-0 against the Kings this year. At a certain point, you got to believe the Kings can win a game against the Pelicans. So that, to me, is the advantage of the Kings going into this game tonight.
Now, if the Kings do win, whoever wins, right, they got to play at OKC. Is that the end of the Kings season?
I think it's the end of the Kings season. The OKC's got a lot of depth. They had tied for the second best record in the NBA for home court. They only lost 8 games all season at home. If they advance, it's farther than I thought they would go. I didn't think they'd be playing in this game tonight. So they're advancing farther, but I don't think they're going anywhere.
So whatever does happen tonight, everything starts tomorrow in the official playoffs with Orlando at Cleveland, Phoenix at Minnesota, Philly at New York. We know you like the Sixers overall in that one. A lot of people are saying don't sleep on the Lakers. A lot of people think the Lakers can give the Nuggets a run. I haven't heard that from you at all.
You're not going to hear that from me at all. I think the Lakers just don't match up with the Nuggets. Nuggets are at home here, you know, and part of the media, I think, even understands that. They were talking about, hey, look, let the Lakers lose here so they don't get the Nuggets in that next round. And I'm like, you're crazy. No one's going to lose the play-in game on purpose to go to the second round of the play-in tournament in order to avoid the Nuggets. Well, they won. They got the Nuggets. So even the media has a hard time believing the Lakers can advance here. I'm hoping it's a good series. I could see the Lakers coming out tough early on in the series. I just don't think they have enough to beat the Nuggets in the overall.
If you jump to Sunday, Boston will move on against either the Bulls or the Heat. We've got that determined. OKC will move on. The other two that start on Sunday, the Mavs and the Clippers and the Pacers and the Bucks. Those two stand out to me as the ones to really watch.
Well, Mavs, Clippers, we're still trying to find out if Kawhi is going to be able to play for the Clippers, because he's been out with that injury. Right now, the Mavs are a 1.5-point favorite in game one, and they're up to $1.35, $1.40 on the series price. So everyone's looking at the Mavs. As you know, if you've listened, I've been high on the Mavs, you know, since midseason. I like the Mavs here. I think they're going to advance deep into this playoffs. Pacers box with Giannis out. Going to be a fun series to watch. And I feel sorry for Doc Rivers in the sense of he was brought in to play defense. And the Pacers are, in my mind, one of the most offensive teams in the league. They like to run. They like to shoot. Last game of the season, they hung 157 points up on the board. So even if they win, people are going to be questioning that Bucks defense just because they're playing the Pacers. And I don't think either team can, you know, advance past the Knicks or the Sixers, whoever wins that series in the second round.
I don't remember. I don't know if you said it, and I know I didn't pin you down, so I'm going to pin you down here. Tonight, though, while the likeliness of the Kings or the Pelicans going very far is very small, and what a story it would be if they did, who you got tonight?
I like the Kings because I think it's tough to go 6-0 against another team. They're already 5-0. And I'm going to go with the Heat. I think Tyler Hero steps up and Bam has a big day. So I'm going to go with the Heat. I don't think Kobe White can hang another 40 points out there. And there are a couple of injuries. Drummond, Dosunmu, they're both listed as questionable. So there are a couple of injuries on the Bulls as well.
Quick break. After this, we're back.
Mix Picks, the Mix Picks Sports Show.
Let's go!
All right, we gotta do this. This is a selfish segment to end the week. All next week, we'll NFL draft every day. We'll cover everything else that's going on leading up to, on Thursday, our official draft predictions. Friday, remember, is a special three-hour show from noon to three following up on draft day. But Ian wrote in, RAD@radradio.com, says, you talked about if the Detroit Lions should add black to their colors. And the one thing that Steve said in my voice was no black jerseys. It's a cash grab. Steve, you helped me spot a bandwagon Lions fan a mile away. Bravo. Before I get to the reveal, the official reveal yesterday, Steve made the comment you notice how it's always the bad teams that are changing their uniforms. It is five of them this year. The Browns, the Jets, the Lions, the Broncos, the Texans. By the way, the Texans have already leaked. They're supposed to unveil them on Tuesday. The team's white uniforms were leaked, updating the way the jersey numbers looked. And again, perennially, you know, the Texans until last year were a joke. I do want to thank Ian for a little PS he put on there that says, I want to thank Rob, Steve, and the entire crew that make this sports show happen. There is a humanity in this that goes well above stats or arguments. I love that, and that's why I wanted to do this segment, because, Steve, we talked about the Lions unveiling their full uniforms. There was a leak yesterday, we didn't get a real idea of what they had. But the Lions said they had no desire to overhaul their primary color scheme. They wanted to better define it visually, so they started with the franchise's iconic Honolulu blue. So if we start with, like, mainly the jerseys, if you're watching us on Rad TV, you can see them. You can always go back and watch them at members.radradio.com. They say that the updated blue is richer and more vibrant, almost as if it's being presented in high definition. Did you get that from what you saw of the blueness in the uniforms?
Well, I'm colorblind, so that ends up hurting me right out of the gate. But I wore this today solely for the uniform. I have the old school Lions. I have more of the modern day. Looking at the uniforms, they are an improvement from last year. I'm not going to say anything against it. That's one of the things I like. I do like the fact that the Lions have gone back more to the traditional font for the numbers with the block lettering, as opposed to who knows what that was for many years. So I was happy with that. I like this blue jersey. My question is, and I think this came from the shot we had up yesterday, it looked like in the white and the numbers had a bunch of black circles, like a pegboard I hang my tools on in my garage. And I'm like, that can't actually be real, because no one would make a white number with black dots on it. But I don't know. These pictures, I can't get it up close enough part. The helmet, if we go to the helmet, I'm not a fan of the what is it, like five stripes down that helmet with the two blue ones. You know, and you could say, oh, it's modern, nobody has it. Well, sometimes you got to ask yourself, why does nobody have it? Because to me, it looks silly with that. So I'm not a fan of the stripe down the helmet. I do like the rest of the helmet as well. The black jersey, not a fan at all. In any way, that is a total cash grab. As I said yesterday, I don't get it. I don't like it. It even has a different helmet, which to me, I don't understand. I get, and I like the throwback helmet they wore last year with this, you know, the two stripes and the lion on it, like my hat. I don't like that helmet at all. And the last part, and you might be able to help me with that, I don't like, is their pants. If I'm right, they're either all white, all blue, or all gray. That's something I can go pick up at Dick's Sporting Goods. I think pants need to have a stripe or something on it to break it out. and they're all just plain white. I'm not a fan of the plain pants. I think you need something, the stripe, or, you know, like the Bengals with, you know, the tiger stripe type of thing. Not just something I can go pick up at Dick's Sporting Goods.
So a couple, okay, so a couple follow-ups and clarifications. First of all, the Lions made a point to say they've gotten away from silver. They got to gray, and so they've gone back as hard as they could to silver. Now, to the pants, there's actually five pairs of pants. White, blue, black, silver, and then silver with stripes. And the only shot we have of the silver pants, which is screen left if you're watching on RAN TV right now, his arm's covering up where the stripe, I suppose, would be. But you're right. None of the other four have any stripings on them, which is an odd look.
Yeah, I'm just not a fan. If the idea is to be unique, it's not. I am very happy that they're going back to the silver. Even though I'm colorblind, the gray was just, yeah, as my wife says, gray isn't a color. It's just blah.
Right.
And so I'm glad they went back to the silver. I would have told you going in, last year's uniforms on a scale of 1 to 10, I'd have put the Lions uniform at 1.5, maybe a 2. These new ones, I'm probably at a 5. I think it's an improvement from what they had. There's still a lot of different things I'm a little bit disappointed in that I thought they could have cleaned up, and they didn't. You know, as I mentioned, the stripe on the helmet, no stripes on the pants, little things like that that I think they could have done a better job with.
So let's jump back. And by the way, we'll as Steve said yesterday, yes, uniforms matter, and we'll talk about that in a second. Let's jump back to the helmets real quick. The way the Lions describe it is the helmet's got an overhaul with the retro logo utilized in 2023 being swapped out for a black version of the team's Leaping Lion logo, along with black striping and a black face mask. And you're being harder on the helmets than I am this isn't my team fan. I don't mind the helmets as much as you seem to.
Is it Honolulu blue? No.
No,
is
it's
Hawaiian
not.
Black? Yes, yeah. Which isn't blue, isn't silver. They've gone to totally different colors.
Okay.
And that's the problem I have. You know, do you like the 49ers wearing a black? Well, there is a little bit of black kind of, but really a black helmet for the 49ers.
No.
And let's say that they're not even using the red or that of the Niners' primary color. They have silver on it. I mean, no. What would you say?
That's wrong. That's not who the 49ers are. Now, okay, so we talked about the black uniforms, as the emailer mentioned. And I mentioned, you know, the Niners did that one year, and I hated it because it made no sense. And you mentioned the black uniforms this year. You're not a fan. Don't know how often we'll see them. Can I sell you the way the Lions tried to sell us, which is they admit that for many fans, the black uniforms bring back, first of all, memories of a bad era of Lions football, which to me isn't that the last four decades, but I digress. But it is the time when head coach Dan Campbell played for the team, and at the unveiling, team president Rod Wood said that Coach Campbell expressed interest himself in bringing back the black uniforms, which were popular with the players from 05 to 07. Does that in any way make you feel at all better about black Lions uniforms?
No, not really. I would not be surprised if the black jersey sells more than any of the others, because again, when you come to selling merchandise, I get it. And my favorite Lions hat that I own is the black hat with the blue lion on it, which is what Dan Campbell wears. So I'm not opposed to the full black, but I'll also tell you, for the most part, my favorite hats all are black with whatever color emblem of that team, as you know, on the hat. So I just like black hats.
No, see, to me, and I've gotten in arguments with sports fans about this. To me, this is a night and day distinction. I'm wearing a black quarter zip pullover of the Sacramento Kings with the actual Kings logo on the shoulder. I love my Niners gear that is black hoodies, black pullovers with the Niners logo. That has nothing to do with their actual uniforms that they wear on the field. It to me, it's a night and day distinction, because we all have our colors that we gravitate towards the way we want to dress or whatever. And black, I don't know how all this works with primary, and I'm not a girl. I don't know if black's considered a neutral color or whatever. But black or white, and then you put the team's actual logo on it, fine. But putting the Lions and or the Niners in black uniforms makes no sense. And it does matter to us as fans for some reason.
Exactly. I agree with you on that. And when you're playing on the field, you need to be playing in your primary colors. This is the team that you root for. This is the team you want to see be consistent and represent everything that you like about the team. The merchandise in the sideline, you know, that's us picking our wardrobe and what colors we like to wear. Mm-hmm. It should not be what the team wears on the field.
All right, so next week, as I mentioned, it's draft week. We will keep on top of the NHL and the NBA playoffs and anything going on in Major League Baseball. But every single day, at least one segment, maybe more, we will talk about the rumors, things that we're looking at, possible trades, etc. We'll get to Thursday. We'll do, if we can, if time permits, we'll do like the top 10, including here's our prediction for a trade, trade up. There's a lot of talk out there right now about the Vikings being the big ones. Will that still even be true on Monday? And then Friday's a special mixed pick show from noon to 3. 3 hours of us still covering NBA and NHL quickly, but mainly going over the surprises, the winners, the losers of day one, and what to look for in the rest of the draft. So rest up this weekend, Steve. Big week next week starts on Monday. I will see and talk to you then, my friend.
Thank you. Have a wonderful weekend.
There's the pass to Leitner. Puts it up. Yes!
Little roller up along first. Behind the back.
Sports Show.